So I prepared a meditation based on Philippians passage, but we happened to read Luke, the scene of Jesus riding a donkey. And whenever I think of the scene, I find it very ridiculous. A king riding a donkey doesn't really make sense to me. If I went all the way back to the time, the moment of Jesus riding a donkey, I would have laughed very sarcastically, as I often do to many matters. But I'll probably get back to the scene later. I was happy to know the passage from Philippians was given to us today, since it is one of my favorite Bible passages. I believe that the humility and incarnation of Christ is the very unique essence of Christianity and the most comforting message to me. But as I keep thinking about it, it becomes rather a challenge than something to celebrate. Firstly, the primary purpose of the passage doesn't seem to be to provide the theology itself, but it elaborates Paul's encouragement that the Philippians be as humble as Christ. And secondly, I find myself being reluctant, if not just being unable, to have the Christ attitude. I'm certain that I'm not entitled to teach or preach anything here, so I'm merely here to share my struggling and seek for your help. A few months ago, I talked to my niece in South Korea, who had just got rejected from university she had applied for. She told me that she was quite depressed and didn't feel worth living. This might come to you as a surprise, but it's not uncommon in my culture that a young adult feels unworthy because they didn't get into a good university or got a job that appeals to other people. As some of you already know, even primary school students feel unworthy because of their grades, and some kill themselves out of shame. What surprised me about my niece was that she did not say that she was sad about her own failure, but what she had to hear from her father. When she told his father she'd rather go find a job than continuing to try to study in university, her father was so upset to say that she would end up proving herself to be a lazy loser. How sad is it that my niece had to fight such criticism instead of grieving and reflecting on her own disappointment. But it somehow made sense that she was not so sad about her failure, since it had never been her desire to be successful in school. And it made sense that education didn't mean much to her, because the purpose of education in South Korea is to be successful or to prove themselves to be better than others. This is the landscape I wanted to escape from, as most Koreans do. In every stage of life, we fight to be in a better position than others in order to be secure and to be respected, and maybe to be joyful. We all want to stop, but we still keep fighting. Whether Christian or not, we are enslaved to race with each other. And I'm one of the lucky people who actually managed to run away from it. And living here greatly helped me change my attitude. But I still at times find myself restless to achieve something that would make me better than others. And it's in this one of those days. I finally screamed at myself a few weeks ago, "I'm afraid to be nothing." And it immediately reminded me of Christ in Philippians passage. He emptied himself, which is translated in NIV as made himself nothing. Seems obvious to me that I'm far from the mind of Christ. Paul invites us to have the same mind as Christ, who emptied himself, and yet I'm startled to become nothing. I'm certainly eager to be something rather than nothing. I'm not knowledgeable enough to tell what it means by Christ emptying himself or making himself nothing. It seems like a serious theological topic. I'd only attempt to imagine the moments that Jesus would have felt afraid of being nothing, like I feel now. I think of the moment where his disciples were disputing to have a better position in heaven, while Jesus himself was preparing for his sacrifice. What about the time his disciples were turning away from him? And maybe the moment he learned his love for Judas Iscariot eventually failed to get him back. And the most clearly, when he was begging the Father to let his passion pass him over, his falling from a wondrous rabbi to a lonely man, from the king of Israel to a naked criminal, and from Son of God to an abandoned child, must have terrified him. As a kid who firmly believed his deity, I used to think that Jesus wouldn't have felt such fear at all, since he knew the end of the story. It would have been like watching a thriller movie with knowing the end. Now I understand that Jesus only envisioned his victory through the lens of faith, which means it was in fact not very evident. Or there must be many holes through which much of negative evidence would stick out. And I think that embracing all these doubts, fears, and sadness, and not being able to know without a leap of faith, was an essential part of his emptying himself, taking the form of slaves and being born in human likeness. So I can imagine him fearing to be nothing, loser, or a total failure, left alone on earth at some point in his life. But I see a large gap, maybe even a polarity, between the nothingness that I'm afraid I'd end up with and the nothingness Christ exemplified to us. Whereas the former seems like falling out of self-serving endeavors, the latter is to serve others according to God's will. Also, Christ being nothing is paradoxical, since he was in the end becoming something through being nothing. But it was not a magic or so-and-so grace that would turn nothing to something. Rather, becoming nothing itself was substantial work, and it was Christ's active choice rather than a suboptimal outcome of his ministry. In that sense, even though it's consoling that Jesus understands my fears and griefs on failure, and is encouraging that he became something through being nothing, I'm certain that my feeling of failure or emptiness will not magically make me something. But then, what kind of nothingness does God want me to pursue? Does God want me to die like Jesus? Does God want me to give away all I have and stay dependent on others? Does God want me to let others exploit, abuse, and victimize me? Am I not entitled to protect and secure myself? Should I give up all opportunities to enjoy abundance? A pastor that I know once taught that humility is nothing but being happy to be what God intends us to be. And I think such a definition of humility gives an insight to understand what it means to follow Christ's humility. If humility means obedience to God in order to serve others, the example of Christ is not about the form of the obedience and service, but about the very notion of obedience and service itself. In other words, it's not about suffering, losing, failing, or being victimized. And it's not about what ministry we do, but about happily and courageously obeying to God, who uses us for his loving, his creation. Then, what is planned for each one of us? What's God's intention? How can we know? I don't think I know any good way to measure how well we know and follow specific plans of God. I used to try to know by a measure of efficiency, success, or pleasure. The Bible doesn't seem to tell us those are the means of knowing God's plan. The very example of Christ shows that we may end up facing failure, fear, and abandonment. I'd like to suggest that the measurement might be how much we are growing like Christ and bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the Philippians passage tells us that following Christ's example will lead us to regarding others better than ourselves. And I think it makes a lot of sense that we will not be able to, and even should not, stop asking and searching for God's plan for us. Because such uncertainty and obscurity would help us stay humble. In other words, that would keep us in awe that others might be ahead in obeying God and fulfilling his plan, even though they seem very much behind or even failing to achieve something. And I believe it is also a way to turn our self-humiliation or self-pity to humility, as it means to view ourselves better than we would evaluate ourselves through the lens of success and achievement. I was lately very much touched by a Mennonite friend who said, "I teach my kids to value faith and the community, and nothing else is so important." I feel very blessed to have such nurturing Christian communities and friends around. I'm still afraid that I will continue to look down on others and myself. And I might stay sad this evening because I'm still much more concerned about my success and failure than fulfilling God's purpose. But I commit myself to God's transforming love, and I'll keep asking to know what I am for, and I'll come to lay myself on the scale of obedience and humility rather than success and failure. I invite you to have a moment to look at each other. All must be better than ourselves. And let's look at our own selves. We must be better than we might have thought to be. And let's look at Jesus riding a donkey. I invite those who feel like riding a horse of triumph and success to come down and bow down to Jesus Christ, and invite those who feel ridiculous about their life also to come down to Jesus. This is perhaps what God seeks in us.